We're here at the Midwest Gaming Classic, Tim with Otherworldly Culture, and this is the tabletop and vendors room. We're here on Sunday, so it's a little bit quieter than it is on Saturday. A lot of activity just the same. Video game tournaments going on. A lot of pinball, probably between all the rooms, there's a couple hundred pinball machines. They have an area where it's old school gaming. We'll go over there a little bit. They have everything from the most modern. So these are some real museum pieces that you can see in this area. Pinballs are back there. That range, everything is set for free play. So just got here, checking some things out. This is one of the newer pinballs here, the Munster. By Stern, they made the Ghostbusters pinball game recently. Kind of fun. The Midwest Gaming Classic. Here's a new version of Attack from Mars, right next to a new Medieval Madness. And Monster Bash, they were kind of remade by Bally. I don't know if it's still the original Bally or not, but remade, really beautiful artwork. Plays great. That's where you can kind of tell the scale. There's just games upon games upon games. They have videos set up on some of the pinballs so you can see it from further away. Just row upon row of these games. Most of them for sale, and just a really good time. This kind of gives you an idea of the diversity here at Midwest Gaming. Here's a updated, fully cleaned up Theater of Magic. Sitting right next to two golden oldies, electromechanicals. They're just sitting next to each other and people are playing both. It's a lot of fun. Here's another blast from the past. Super hard. You get a great game with Iron Maiden. Just neat games everywhere. A lot of fun. More at the Midwest Gaming Classic. These are the classics. These are the classics right here. Got lots of new ones. A ton of people here on a Sunday afternoon. You may not have known it, but there was a Game of Thrones game. There it is. I'm gonna try it out here. I'm gonna do terrible, so I'm only using one flipper. Yeah. Yeah, that's not gonna happen. So this is one of our past guests, Elvira.
Move your car!
Oh, poo!
Now been updated with the full color DMD. This is the exact joystick I used to have on my Atari 2600. That's on a Commodore 64. There's another Atari 2600 that's the classic joystick. They got it all up and running. That's what's amazing. Every year I'm on a quest to find the Speak and Spell. There it is. And we have, this is the one my parents got for me, the Data Man. They actually have the original book with it too. That's pretty impressive. This is the one a lot of kids had in my school, the little professor. Nothing compared to the Data Man, let me tell you. But boy, a lot of people had speaking skills. Here's another interesting piece of history. It's an Atari 2600 and it has Parker Brothers Frogger in it. Parker Brothers saw all these people making money with games. They came out with Frogger. Not the greatest port you've ever seen, but it was playable. And worked fairly decent when I had it as a youngin. That cartridge alone was $30. I remember that very well because I think that was one of the few where I actually bought it instead of got it for birthday present or something. It's Parker Brothers and Frogger. So you don't see this every day. That is an Atari Jaguar. They got it up and running. That was the actual controller. As goofy as it looked. Picture quality, you know, for the time, pretty good. But it's certainly fun to look at some of these old systems. On top of some of the other stuff here at the Midwest Gaming Classic, they have the Jurassic Park vehicle here. We're still in the exhibit hall. This is the DeLorean from Back to the Future. Even has the vest. I love that they got the 1980s vest in there, and of course the flux capacitor is working. And over here we have the Ghostbusters car, which I'm sure Ernie Hudson was running around in earlier. And it's even got Slimer in the front seat. Yeah, you can see that. So, pretty cool. And here now in the community section, you can see they got air hockey going in the background. And they have a number of community rooms where there's developers checking out their new stuff, making new games for old consoles and all sorts of fun stuff. Each of these rooms has quite a bit. Here's one in the presentation hall. Here at the history of gaming cartridges, I found it. That was my first game cartridge, right there. It was terrible. It was so much fun at the time. Loved it. It was a triangular. Oh, we got it. It's right over here. This is our original console that we had. Steering wheel here. Covered. Steering wheel. Pong. And of course for shooting games. They of course don't have it up and running. It was Coleco that put this out. We loved it at the time. It was $100 or so. It was expensive, but a great game. Okay, I actually beat E.T. It should pick up E.T. here in a second. Oh no. I phoned him and the timer's down. There he goes. Woohoo! Super excited.
Now the first question was, why did I want to become a wrestler, right? Because I grew up in wrestling and my father was a wrestler. He was a good man who had a tremendous influence in my life. Not only was he a professional wrestler, he was a national amateur champion. So he had a lot of wrestling background. He had a storied career, wrestled and played football in Nebraska. So he was my inspiration. That was why I wanted to be like my dad.